My name is Barbara Lee, and as many or probably most of you know, I am profoundly deaf. Many people in the village this week have asked me about my hearing impairment. I'm willing to talk about that. I'm willing to talk about hearing impairment per se. I'm willing to talk about your hearing impairments. If you have any questions, I can't answer everything, but I do have an academic background in deafness as well. And how would you like me to begin? Would you like me just to tell you a little bit about my own experience first? And then I see lots of head noddings. Okay. As I was growing up, I think I heard like everyone else. I think I heard well. I remember my mother sending me down to the cellar to get canned goods. She'd yell at me, and I'd inevitably come back with the wrong thing. Now, I don't know if I wasn't listening or if in actuality I didn't hear, but I remember that experience. 9 years ago in March, I totally lost my hearing. About a year before that, I had been confronted by one of my colleagues who said, "Barbara, I think you ought to have your hearing tested." And I thought she was joking. But she and some other folks from the office would tell nasty jokes. And when I didn't laugh, they figured something must be wrong. They were right. Anyway, I didn't do anything about it. And then about 6 months later, that same friend who had told me to have my hearing tested before came and sat at my desk, and she said, "Barbara, look at me." And I did. And she said, "Please go have your hearing tested. If you don't, you're a fool." And she stood up and had tears running down her cheeks and walked out of my office. I was panicked. I did go have my hearing tested then and found out I had a moderate loss. It wasn't 6 months later that I was a state counseling supervisor for one of the state agencies and was providing training for some professionals in a nearby locality. We had always had very positive feedback on this, and on this particular occasion they said, "You don't listen to us, you're not paying any attention to us, you don't care what we say," and I denied it. I said, "I do too, I pay attention to you, I listen to you." Well, the truth of the matter was this: we were sitting in a large circle. If I was looking straight ahead, I would see those people talk and would have no idea any of these people in my peripheral vision were talking. And it went on that way for a whole week. And I denied that I wasn't getting what I should or responding to people as I should. People would talk to me from the back and I wouldn't answer them. They'd call to me and I wouldn't answer them. I wonder how many of you have had experiences like that. It's a different kind of experience. There are over 16 million people in the United States who have hearing problems. About 1.7 million folks in the United States are deaf. And by that I mean the everyday sounds of life are non-functional for the everyday purposes of life. Some of you wonder about hearing aids. I wear two hearing aids. They're called behind-the-ear aids. I notice some of you are wearing aids as well. And you will note that hearing aids are not like glasses. When I take off my glasses, I can't see any of you. I couldn't recognize a one of you. But when I do put on my glasses, my vision is corrected so that I can see your faces. When I take off my aids, I can't hear. But when I put them on, I still can't hear. What they do is to amplify sounds. Not necessarily the sounds that everyone else hears. but some kind of sound. With two aids, I can hear the lawnmower. I can hear trucks. I used to think I could hear ambulances, but I missed one by this much, just about a week before I came. I can hear my dogs barking. And I know the telephone is ringing, but I know I can't answer it because I can't hear voices. So a hearing aid is different than glasses in that respect. When I lost my hearing, realized that I would need to learn sign language. Not everyone does. It's appropriate for some and not others. But I took a medical leave of absence and went to a vocational school in our locality. I had a mental block against it because I really didn't want to learn, and yet I knew I had to. So I learned. I think I learned the ABCs in a month, that's all. I was a slow learner when it came to that. And finally went on and was offered a fellowship and stipend to get a master's degree in deafness and went ahead and did that while experiencing myself as a deaf person. Speech reading. Many of you have asked about speech reading. I personally believe it's a gift. There are classes in speech reading. As you know, M, B, and P all look like alike when you're speech reading. You can say bake and make. They look the same on the lips. You can say P, you know, the vegetable, a P. You can say B, I shall be at the store at such and such a time. Me, they all look alike on the mouth. B, P, me. You can say keep and heap. K and H, they look the same on the mouth. Only 26 to 33% of the words in the English language are distinguishable on the lips, and the rest is guesswork. So when you're, I can honestly say to you that I'm a gifted speech reader, but when I make mistakes, they're whoppers, big ones. I cannot hear my own voice, so I cannot tell how loud or how soft I'm speaking. I have a funny story I can tell you. I was interning at a church, and because I don't hear, I don't stay up at the front of the church during the sermon. I walk around and sit in the front pew. And my supervisor at that time, who was the pastor, was preaching, and he said something that I thought was a little bit kind of queasy. So I leaned over to whisper to my sister, who happened to be with me that day. She's never there. She doesn't attend our church. And I whispered, I thought I was whispering to her, and I said, hogwash. And it was very much out loud. And the whole congregation just roared, and the pastor stopped and made his own comments. I haven't gotten by with that. I've learned not to say anymore. So I can't tell whether I'm loud or soft. I don't know what else you want to know from that meager beginning of a story. But I'm willing to answer questions. I'm willing to share more with you. I, for instance, have a teletypewriter for the deaf since I cannot use a phone. It's a device where you put the thing from the telephone, you know what I'm talking about here? You set it down in a cradle and you type. And the material goes over the phone lines in typewritten form, and for those who have similar machines, it comes out in writing. I have an example, well, there are pictures of it. This is the Silent News. This is a newspaper that comes out of New York, I believe, but it's nationwide for people who are deaf. And among other things in here, they have advertising for teletypewriters, TDDs. These are the kinds of machines that you can type on. They range all the way from, I think, lowest right now is about $159 to $850 or more. So, but anyway, they're all kinds of devices. You think of waking up in the morning, a regular alarm clock. How much does a regular alarm clock cost you? Can't you get them for $4 or $5? An alarm clock for someone who's deaf, either a vibrating one or a light. You can rig up a light yourself to awaken you. But the kind they sell in here range from $60 to $80 for an alarm clock. So it's a big expenditure. Anyway, questions? I will be happy to take any. Yes?
If you had had your ears tested earlier, could you save your hearing?
If I had had my ears tested?
Yeah, earlier?
No. What I have is congenital, hereditary maybe is a better way of putting it. I have two cousins who lost hearing in their middle 30s. I was 35. My ears are not so bad. My ears can distinguish sounds, but the problem is it's the connection from the inner ear to the brain is calcified so that the nerve cannot function. And consequently, my ears accept sound, but the sound isn't transmitted into my brain for some reason. And at the current time, there's nothing that can be done for that. It is nerve deafness. I hear enough sound so that with my aids, if somebody calls to me, I will turn, but I may not turn the right way. I have an uncanny ability if I'm walking next to someone and not even looking at them, if I hear some kind of a sound that I assume is voice, sometimes I answer without looking at them, sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong. But it's an unusual ability. Not many deaf folks have that.
I have had, I wear two hearing aids.
Yeah?
And some years ago, I had operations on both my ears.
Yes?
Had the bone cut out, had it replaced with stainless steel, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Cochlear implant?
Right. But it corrected it to a certain extent, but now I got a hearing aid in this year, 4 years ago, and this one I just got last year. And I have found that by getting a hearing aid, it protects your hearing from getting any worse. This year, it was tested the same as it did 4 years ago, and this one was dramatically worse.
Yeah. I'm not so sure that the hearing aid is protecting your hearing. I think it's just that the
stimulating the muscles.
The ear has, your hearing has changed. In many older people, and I'm not saying you're older, but anybody over 40, you have a disease that oftentimes is very common with elderly folks, that the inner ear bones do not move as quickly, just like some of the rest of the bones don't move as rapidly. And so that's just, it makes it harder and harder and more difficult to hear. There are two kinds of hearing impairment. Basically, one is sensory neural. And this is conductive. Conductive hearing loss. This has to do with amplification. If you make something loud enough, if you have a conductive hearing loss, you will be able to hear it. In other words, our hearing aids, if the sounds are loud enough, if sounds are amplified, you can, that hearing aids help a conductive loss. A sensory neural loss, on the other hand, is talking about clarity. And for me, I have mixed, which is both. a mixed loss, but on the clarity, what, because I can't get the sounds from my inner ear to my brain, I may hear the noise. I've been trying to listen to tapes, and I can't for the life of me. I can get it loud enough to hear sounds, but it sounds like mush. And words run together, and you can't tell what is being said.
I find that anything that's coming through a machine of whatever kind is more difficult to hear than when it's coming directly. I've been wearing an aid, started 20 years ago, because calling on ladies in their home, I had to do too much guessing. It was either get an aid or quit. Mm-hmm. And my hearing is that conducted by increasing the amplification. I have now the strongest aid I've had at all, but the other sounds, the clatter of the pans and in a big group of people, it makes it very difficult. And I have some trouble with the telephone. Some people I can understand fairly well, others, and I did a funeral for a lady who's quite deaf but uses aids, and played it, and it was loud enough, but like you say, she couldn't understand a word of it. It was her husband's funeral. It just said, no, couldn't get it. But I can speak to her directly, and we're fairly close together.
And that's because you're watching she is watching the mouth configurations.
And that's helping her.
It helps, but it doesn't do the total trick, and it's so frustrating. How many people do you know in your congregations who have kind of backed off from committees and have backed off from all kinds of things, and they say, oh, it's time to let someone else do it?
They quit coming to church even because they're not getting anything out of it.
Yes, indeed, indeed.
They talk to me about their hearing problems because they know I have one.
Yes, indeed.
And
I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Many people who are up front doing the thing have good hearing, like the pastor that we have. He could hear a pin drop at 200 yards. Well, he didn't realize that half his congregation missed half of what he said, and he would drop his voice for dramatic effect. As far as I was concerned, I couldn't get enough to connect up the sermon.
Somebody over here.
Yeah. I have Meniere's disease.
Meniere's disease, okay, uh-huh.
And I think I'm 62, I'm 84 now. When I was 62, I was vacuuming the mud, and all of a sudden, just a baffle,
uh-huh.
baffle sound, and my hearing was gone, and my right ear completely gone, and there's nothing that came through, never has. I don't hear anything. So I found that I was having a hearing loss in my left ear, so I got a hearing aid, and I have used that for 22 years.
Has it been helpful?
Oh, sure, I can look fine. I don't have trouble. But with the Meniere's, I still have dizziness and unsteadiness, and at night particularly.
Sometimes they're worse than others.
That's right, and in the dark. And like I live up at Chalet 5, when I go up the hill, you'd think I was drunk. I stagger.
I walk like I'm drunk too at night. And people tease me about it. I also cannot walk down steps, either without hanging on to some a railing, or for instance, even though I don't hear, I go to the symphony at home, and there's the closest place is O'Shaughnessy Auditorium, which is at the College of St. Catherine, not far from us, and the steps coming down from our seats in the balcony are quite steep, and I cannot. Or if I go to a sports event or something, I cannot go off without hanging on to somebody's shoulder ahead of me. I simply cannot go down steps, and I can't look down, or I'll just tumble down. When I walk over to Chalet 1, which is on flat ground, as you know, it's the first chalet over there in the corner where I live, at night, I'm just a loser. I can hardly stand on my two feet. because my sense of balance is so kaput. And so whether I'm with a woman or with a man, I say, I've got to hang on to you. I've got to hold your hand, or I've got to go, you know, because I simply can't stand upright otherwise. So I understand what you're saying. Yes?
Do you work with people in your daily work? And if so, how do you cope with the general public?
I am a clergy, and so yes, I work with people in my everyday work. One-to-one, I function well. One-to-one, if I'm not so far apart, I'm okay. However, if I go to a church council meeting, I need a sign language interpreter because I simply cannot follow who's talking when. I do very little group stuff at church. I do much with senior citizens, but they've all gotten to wave at me. So whenever they wave, I'll look at them. If somebody is, for instance, you were waving here, I have no idea if anybody else was talking to me or waving at the same time. I saw you, I have no idea what went on here or over here.
So you use sign interpreters quite a bit?
There's a sign interpreter at our worship service every Sunday morning. I'm probably the only clergy person who starts the Lord's Prayer and says, Our Father, and quits. I start the creed, I believe, and I stand at the front with my hands folded and I smile as everybody else says the rest. But the congregation understands. I don't chant the liturgy because I have no idea where my voice is. And so oftentimes there's a member of the congregation who will chant the liturgy, sometimes I just say it. Sometimes we have somebody else who sings the psalm. Otherwise, they respond just verbally with me.
From your speaking, I don't think anyone would know that you're deaf because you get variation in it. I've known some deaf people that are way up here or way down here.
Most people who lose their hearing become monotone within 5 years. Again, all I can say is that I'm gifted. I share a home with somebody who works with hearing impaired children. And I become very sloppy with S's. And so if we're walking past each other in the dining room or something, she'll go like this. And most people think, be careful. But that's S in sign language. And she's saying, you know, shape up, be careful of your S's. So I do that. Yes, Bill.
There is a lady from Northwestern Bell Telephone Company, and she brought a lot of phones on, you know, people that have a hard time of hearing and difficult. I know you were saying that you can't understand words, you know, when somebody speaks to you. Well, anyway, she brought a phone that I'm sure you heard of,
TDD, I have one.
TTTY or TDD?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what it is. It's
you type.
Right, type.
And then they receive it.
The next person has the type and then the words.
That's correct.
Right.
That's correct. Uh-huh. There are also amplified phones that some of you might find helpful.
I have a volume control on the phone. I'm also deaf.
You have a what?
Volume control.
Yeah.
And on my lamp in the bedroom, I have the timer, and the lamp comes on at a certain time.
Good for you. Good for you.
This is hereditary. I mean, my grandfather, my mother, my youngest brother.
And that's helpful, isn't it, to have the blinking light?
Yeah, on this side of me.
Now that's interesting because a lot of people, the size of the hearing aid, since Reagan has had a canal aid, everybody thinks those are the best aids. They work for some people, but they do not work for all people. They are probably there for a moderate to a slight hearing loss. When you get to somebody who has a severe loss, this is what you, this or a body aid is what you're going to need. Now this, the two aids that I have are comparable to a body aid. They are that strong. but you can get them in various levels. The other important thing to know is many times, in fact, a couple, 3 weeks before I came here, I went camping with a friend and her parents. And the mother was telling me that somebody from a hearing aid company had come over to their house and had tested their hearing. And immediately the red flag went up for me, because you cannot do an appropriate hearing test in your home. You need a soundproof booth. And the only place that can be done is in, well, primarily in the office of an audiologist, one who tests hearing and who is certified and generally has a master's degree in audiology, or by an otolaryngologist or an otologist, an MD who has special training in working with the ear. So, you know, I see in the newspaper, Sears has ads for a canal aid or all-in-the-ear aid or whatever they call it for $359. And people think, wow, good price. I'll get it. But please, please do yourself a favor. Do yourself a favor and go to a qualified person. In our state now, it's required that you must go to either a physician, an MD, or, well, who will refer you to an audiologist for the other kind of testing. But do yourself a favor and do that, because most of the time, a hearing aid will help. But there are so many different kinds of hearing aids that it's important for them to find out where your deficits are. Is it harder for you to hear high tones or low tones? Or is it more difficult for you to hear the voice level tones in the middle? Whatever it is. So I can't stress that enough, to go to a qualified person. Yes?
I have a question. Singing.
Yes.
I'm scared of my own voice. I don't dare sing anymore because I'm afraid I'm out.
I'm with you.
Oh, and I just wonder if it's somebody else or me I'm hearing. If it's myself or someone else that I'm hearing.
Yeah. Oftentimes you can't hear yourself. And for instance, I have gone to Vespers every night I've been here, but during my 4 years at seminary, I think I was there 3 times. The worst seminary with chapel attendance of anybody there. But I couldn't hear a word. And I'd stand there, and inevitably, the times I went, it would be a choir concert in the back somewhere that you were supposed to listen to. And so I'd sit and I'd count rafters, and I would see how many people, when I go to the symphony, I see how many of the orchestra members have on patent leather shoes, or how many are wearing rings. And I can tell you some of the little things, but I have no idea what the music is, you know. So you're right, it's hard. I don't sing either. I'm trying to teach them sign language to some staff members here. And I was talking, and they all of a sudden started clapping. And I said, what's going on? And they said, you're singing. And I wasn't aware of it. I wasn't aware of it. I thought I was saying the words. And evidently I was singing the words from how I remembered them and wasn't aware of it. More questions? Yes?
Well, I've been to some schools on nonverbal communication.
Mm-hmm.
And I found them extremely interesting. And one of the things that the way we learned was to shut our hearing off and then watch people in film and video, and you can pick up an awful lot from expressions other than verbal.
Yes.
So do you do that?
I'm sure I do.
You haven't been to school though to do that?
For?
Nonverbal communication.
Well, how can I say that? Not specifically because I'm hearing impaired or deaf. I have been a professional counselor for over 20 years. And so I'm trained in nonverbal communication by reason of my profession. prior to seminary. So.
That helps you then.
I'm sure it does. I just take it for granted now because I've been doing it for so many years. But yeah, I'm sure it does. I'm sure it would help others.
And did you go to seminary after you lost your hearing?
Yes, I did.
So did you have sign interpreters lectures then?
Did I what?
Have sign interpreters for the lectures?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I lost my hearing in 1970, must have been March of 1975. And in September then of 75, I went to New York University and got a master's degree in deafness in sign language. My classes were all in sign language. I returned to the University of Minnesota sometime later and earned a PhD in industrial relations and educational administration in sign language. And then after that, I went to the seminary and have gone to those classes in sign. At the seminary, however, since sign language interpreters are expensive, costs at least $25 every time they show their face for a class, and the seminary was very kind about paying for that. I took about half my classes by going to class and the other half independent study. So the seminary, as it turns out, paid more in interpreters for me every quarter than I paid in tuition for a year. But yeah, I took my classes in sign language. I'm much better at receiving sign language than I am in giving it. Although we have several deaf members in our congregation, and I am competent enough to communicate with them, it's much easier for me to receive than to give. Questions?
Do you drive a car?
Yes, I do. And I have no problem except when there are ambulances and we miss like that.
All right, then when they renew your license, you have to renew your license every so often.
Yes.
What do you go through? What kind of mix?
I need an extra mirror on my car.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
I need a mirror on the passenger side. And that's all.
Good.
And they find that the accident rates for deaf people are much better than for hearing people. And the assumption is that it's because they have to be much more aware and are more careful.
Do you think our churches are really concerned enough about the people that do not hear?
I suppose it depends on the congregation. I know that in our congregation, I was not used to using a manuscript, but I now use a manuscript when I preach, and it's typed out and given to the people who can benefit from it. And so they sit and read as I preach. I know that some of the people sit close to the front. We do have a sign language interpreter who is right down next to me or next to the other pastor when he preaches. And that is helpful for the number of us who do use sign. We have some people, some elderly folks in our congregation who cannot use sign. They don't understand it. Who really come just for the socialization of being with their friends. But even talking like this close, one-to-one, they do not really understand. So then we have a pad and paper and we try and write.
We have people who stay away for the same reason, that they can't understand what is being said, they don't want to appear stupid, so they stay away.
Well, and I think what's important there is, I know I have visited in the homes of those, some members like that,
and have said, you know, I don't hear either, and I don't hear everything, but it feels good to be a member of a congregation, to stand up, to sit down, to know where you are. Our bulletins now have everything written out, not just the, you know, the order of service with the page number over here. The bulletins have the whole service written out in our church, so that people can be looking at the bulletin and can run their finger for the person standing next to them. I don't know, some of you have seen the waitress, Lorelei, who's here right now, and she always stands next to the investors or sits, and she oftentimes goes like this, so I can tell where we are. And it's very helpful. They're just little things, but they make a huge difference. And when people understand that they're not alone, and that you recognize the fact that they're not hearing, so when they're looking at the ceiling and counting rafters and seeing which fans are working and which ones aren't, you know, you aren't thinking poorly of them for doing that. And just, you know, be honest about it. Yeah.
Can you tell us something that you appreciate the most in the consideration a person would have for a gift?
What I would appreciate most. I appreciate when we're talking, if somebody will get my attention by tapping me or jabbing me or whatever they choose to do, so that I know enough to turn and look at them. I very much appreciated what this other person up here in the village does for me in pointing, and that was something that she did on her own without my asking. And I was thrilled, and I bet I've told her 25 times how much that has meant to me. It's just a small thing, but it's marvelous, and it makes me feel good. What are some other things? I appreciated when Paul, our pastor, started writing out his sermons in manuscript form and allowing me to have them, or allowing all of us to use them when we needed them. I worshiped there before I started working there. Mm. And so that was beforehand, and I appreciated that. I appreciate the fact that some of the deaf members in our congregation sing with the choir. They don't sing with their voices, but they sign sing. And so when the choir sings with voices, they sign the song at the same time. And the choir director was just very, very tolerant of that. There's a form, you know, where you make your commitment, your stewardship commitment, what you're going to do. And a couple of the deaf people said they wanted to sing in the choir. The choir director had never heard of that before. And he said, fine, come on. And so they came and they're singing with the choir. We also have a blind woman who sings with the choir, and she sings from her Braille music book. So, any other questions about your hearing impairment, or mine, or how the church deals with hearing impairment?
We have hearing aids in our church.
I'm sorry.
In our church.
You have hearing aids?
In the church, there's a small box like that. You put it in your ear, and then you hear the sermon. The sermon has to be on another thing.
There are some very good kinds of aids. This last week, if any of you were here when the Bustedts were here, Signe Bustedt is a woman who brought with her up here a small FM receiver system. The speaker wears a microphone with a small pack hooked in your belt or in your shirt pocket or wherever. And it's not connected. It's got batteries in it. And then she, wherever she was sitting in the room, would put on the aids that were attached to a receiver of about the same size, a little bigger than a pack of cigarettes. And she would attach that to her belt or put it in her purse or something. And so the sound would go directly from the person speaking to her hearing aid. Now she has this kind of loss. She's deaf. But what she needs is amplification. And so that worked. Many churches have those systems. I think they cost, there's one by Telex that costs probably $1,000 per person with $300 extra per receiver. But if a church has one transmitter and maybe three receivers for less than $2,000, they can serve three or four people. It sounds like a lot of money for not many people, but it makes a whole lot of difference.
Over in our area, there's a new organization that's come into being for the hard of hearing, and they're doing some of this kind of thing, making some of these things available.
Uh-huh.
It's quite new. It's just happened in the last couple of years.
Is it called
I'm not
What's
sure.
What's the name of an organization? Self-help for hearing impaired, S-H-H-H.
I have a daughter who is hard of hearing,
uh-huh.
and she belongs to it. I come from Chicago vicinity.
Good,
so
good.
We belong to that organization.
There are a number of organizations that are helpful, is a good one. I frankly have never been to it. I was asked to speak to it, but I would have been up here at that time, so we're putting it off a bit. We in Minnesota have what we call Minnesota Association of Deaf Citizens, MADC, and that primarily is for people who are congenitally deaf, who sign, who grew up in residential schools. I wonder if you know that for most people who are deaf from birth, even if they're very bright, the average reading level is fifth grade. The newspaper is on seventh grade reading level. So most people who are born deaf are not able to comprehend the regular newspaper. 90% of all deaf people have hearing parents. 90% of all deaf parents have hearing children, which is kind of interesting. Any other kinds of questions? Yes.
I observed a team of what we call deaf and dumb people bowling where I bowled for several years. And I couldn't help but be impressed by what a good time they had. Their hands just flew. Of course, it had absolutely no meaning to me. But they were telling jokes and kidding around and everything else. You could tell by the body language what was happening. But I thought that was quite interesting.
You also brought up another point, the term deaf and dumb. I noticed, did any of you listen to the readings last night, scripture readings at Vespers? I wanted to stand up and scream. They talked about the deaf and the dumb. Well, those words are indeed in scripture, but those words for people who are hearing impaired are absolutely obnoxious. Yes, we are deaf. We are not dumb. Some people may choose not to use their voices, and then those folks are mute, but they are not dumb. And the word dumb has the connotations of,
yeah,
you know, zero, nothing in the head. So people, try to remember, if just because I'm selfish about this and hate to hear it, but the term deaf and dumb, or if you hear other people using it, please try and educate them to use the words maybe deaf and mute. They don't speak, but there's no reason deaf people can't speak. It's just that their voices sometimes sound so strange that people find them uncomfortable to listen to. So they choose not to use their voices. So they are mute, but they are not zero, dumb. Other kinds of comments or questions? I got kind of carried away on that one. Sorry about that.
No. Actually, years ago, I worked with two people like this. They are not dumb. You're quite correct. And it's very interesting, and we learn to communicate with body language, playing pinochle and
sure.
work in the harvest field and so forth. But
at any rate, when you, next time somebody reads that scripture verse in your church, please translate the word dumb to mute. Any other comments or questions? Let's see if I have any other things down here that you might like to learn. Oh, one of the things about hearing impairment, how many of you have lost some hearing later in life? Some of you have.
Yeah.
That makes a whole lot of difference in how we respond to things. I was 35, I told you, when I lost my hearing. If I had my brothers between being blind or deaf, indeed I would choose now to be as I am, deaf. Later in life, we can get along without sound much more easily than we can without sight. From birth, I would much rather be blind than deaf. Because as a child, if you are deaf, you do not have the conceptual understanding that other people have. You cannot learn language as readily. You do not get the nuances of vocabulary. Most deaf people know what a smile is. Few know what a grin is. You get the basics and that's it. But from birth, someone who is blind picks up with their hands as well as with their ears, while those of us who are deaf only with one sense. While in seminary, I was taking Greek with a blind gal who was in our class, and I was so frustrated, I could hardly stand it. And that's the one area that I found I could not do as a deaf person. I could not learn Greek as a deaf person. We tried to make signs for the Greek alphabet, and then we realized that even if we knew the signs for the alphabet, we couldn't spell the words. So the alphabet did us no good. You can't watch a professor and read your Greek New Testament and speak it when you don't hear it all at once. It's impossible. But Terry, on the other hand, the blind woman, she had her Greek at her fingertips. It was in Braille, but it was still Greek. And so she had the input both from her hands and from her ears, and she could speak it at the same time. So she kept rooting for me and giving me encouragement, but she found that the Greek was much easier than I did. So I guess a couple of things to remember is that the age we lose our hearing is important. The older we are, basically the better off we are and the better we'll be able to handle it. The type of loss makes a difference, whether it's conductive or sensory neural. And then the degree of severity, how much loss we have. Some people just have a slight hearing loss. Some can't hear banter at the table or conversation around them. If I'm standing under the bell, I'll hear it. But that's, you know, about the extent of my hearing. We talked about speech reading, that only 26 to 33% is distinguishable on the lips, and about 50 to 60% of all words look like another sound in the English language, which makes it a real bunch of guesswork. One of the things that's important is when there are men who wear heavy beards and mustaches, it's impossible to read them. If they're clipped fine, but if they hang over, forget it. You can't understand. Some people's mouths don't move very well when they talk like this. There's no way to understand what they're saying.
Dark.
Yes, ma'am.
They have, you know, for people that have really hard time, difficult time, they have, I know you, I'm sure you've seen these little, their books, and they got numbers and words, you know, alpha, like A, B, C, D, E, F, G, you know, the alphabet, you know. And when a counselor or social worker or volunteer person has a hard time understanding, well, then he points.
Are you talking about a bliss board, Bill?
Right, correct.
Okay, bliss is primarily used for people who have other kinds of problems other than hearing problems. They may have hearing problems, but generally it's for people who have some problems mentally in understanding symbols, the symbols of the alphabet, letters, and so forth. And so that's, it's just a different way of communicating, but primarily it's used for people other than deaf folks, but it is a very good system, and it's very helpful.
Another thing, Barb, when my dad lost his hearing, and, well, he's not living now, but when he lost his hearing and he wears a hearing aid, well, when he made himself a little box, and he took an old radio and took a loudspeaker took the loudspeaker and put it in that little box.
So it would be louder for him, Bill?
Yeah, and then he connects the wires to the TV.
Yep.
See?
That's like amplifying it for a conductive hearing loss.
Right.
That's like a hearing aid.
Right.
One of the other things about deafness is that it's an invisible disability. When my hair is longer, and it usually is, you can't see my hearing aids, and so nobody knows by talking to me that I'm deaf. And consequently, if any of you came up from behind and started talking to me, and I didn't respond to you, what would you think?
Stuck up.
Yeah, you'd think I was stuck up, that's right. And that's a problem.
Yes.
That's a problem.
It's very frustrating.
Because people think you're being rude.
Yes.
And you're not. And I went to the doctor and I was so upset by this. I said, people think I can hear and they expect me to hear and I can't. He said, attach cords to your hearing aids and stick them in your bra straps. You know, that they don't need to be connected to anything, but just to let people know that you're hearing impaired.
People speak to me from behind, maybe a nice soft voice, and I haven't heard it at all. I just keep on going.
That's right.
They think all kinds of things about me, I'm sure.
One of the people who works here and who knew I was hearing impaired was just yelling to me one day. She said, yelling and yelling as I walked down the road over toward my chalet. And afterwards, I said, hi, how are you this afternoon? She said, oh, I'm so embarrassed. And I said, why? She says, I yelled at you, she says, until one of the other people came over and said, don't you know she can't hear? And she says, I had totally forgotten. She says, here I was, screaming my head, trying to get your attention. So, you know, it's okay that it doesn't show, but in another way, it would be nice if it did, because then there would be more understanding. Whatever. I guess if you're asking for tips, or whatever. One of the things, you notice that there are black coverings over each of the windows back there. And those are put up every time I do a session in here so that I can see you. If I'm looking this way with the light behind, your face is dark, the light is coming from behind, and I have very much difficulty seeing faces. So having the dark behind you makes it much easier for me. Make sure somebody is looking at you. Tap them. sorry. But make sure someone is looking at you, or that I am looking at you when we're talking. You don't have to amplify the way you move your mouth. Just speak naturally, because it's easier to understand someone who speaks naturally than if you do this kind of thing. That's very difficult. For most of us, you don't have to yell. It doesn't make any difference. We won't hear you any better if you yell or scream. It might even be more difficult because your mouth moves differently when you talk that loud. What's something else? Attitude is important, not only for the person talking to any of us who are hearing impaired, but for those of us who are hearing impaired ourselves. I can become very frustrated when I don't pick up on things or when I miss things. Coming up here to Holden is a marvelous experience, but when you come up here and you don't hear, you are isolated to begin with. You don't hear all the banter, you don't hear, well, what are you supposed to do when? You come to a staff meeting and here the room is crowded, everyone is talking, and you sit there like a bump on a log and you don't know beans. And so finally they say, and Barbara, what did you think about that? And I'll say, huh? I have no idea what you're talking about. And so somebody will say, well, they just asked about such and so, or when are you leaving, or when are you doing your session? Or, oh, okay, well then I'll tell you. But you have absolutely no idea what's going on in the group.
Yeah. I find it's quite a strain too, to just be trying to hear, working with the group. You're just kind of leaning forward, trying your best to get it, even though I tell them that they have to speak up, they want me to hear.
And
but they forget.
That makes a difference.
They forget. Yeah. And then...
I don't know how many of you have eaten a meal at the same table with me in the dining hall. I try most of the time to be sociable. But to be sociable means that when I eat, I'm looking at you and trying to get the food to my mouth. And if any of you know me, you will know that I always spill at every meal. Which was very frustrating to me, not only because I have a built-in shelf, but evidently also because my balance is kaput. And the physician has told me that I was upset. I'd spill at every meal. Right before I came here, a friend who's an administrator of a nursing home gave me a present, and I opened it up, and it was a bib from the nursing home. You know, the kind that goes all the way down and out. And I love it. I even have it here with me. But I've asked my mother to make me more. But those are the kinds of little things that you don't think about. It's hard to get. Somehow I can't get the fork or the spoon to my mouth without spilling. At every meal I spill. And part of it is just its balance and not quite being in control in that way. Talking again about sitting at the dining table. There are usually, what, 8 people at a table over there? And if I'm sitting second from the end, which I usually do, I'll talk to the persons across from me, but the people next to me, I usually kind of, I mean, I'll try to talk to them, but most of the time it ends up I ignore them. Oftentimes I sit and you probably think I'm the most unsociable person around. But to try and concentrate on communicating during meals with a group of people when all you really can follow are the persons across from you, trying to focus on understanding people every waking moment when it's an effort to do it is tiring. I've taken a nap all but 2 days that I've been here. Like 3-hour naps. I'm exhausted. And those of you who are used to also having to strain to understand, well,
people understand what it is.
It looks like the time's up, but if you have any other questions, feel free to ask. Yeah.
What about the future? What are your goals?
I probably will not be in a congregation because of my deaf. There's no confidentiality on the telephone. I can use a telephone and I do
deliver mail now. Sure is.
I speak into the phone. There's an amplifier on the other end. My housemate or somebody else can hear the words and they mouth them back to me and then I speak on the phone. So it's always a three-way conversation.
Thanks for coming.